I thought that those words from Psalm 19 were worth repeating. As we pray and as we reflect on the scripture today. And it's always a very special honor and privilege for us to delve a little deeper into the Word of God. Because, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? We read the scripture, oh yeah, I've read that before. Oh yeah, sounds familiar. The gospel for today, a good old familiar passage of scripture from the beginning of the Gospel of John, which is generally regarded as the prologue, the intro, the overview. And it's significant because prologue is like an executive summary, isn't it? So, this Wednesday, June the 21st, sometimes known as the first day of summer, people around the country will celebrate National Indigenous Peoples Day. In recognition of Canada's Indigenous cultures. Traditionally, there's an emphasis on the achievements and the resilience of the people who are the first known inhabitants of this country and who continue to make an impact in Canadian society. This annual celebration emphasizes the unique heritage and at the same time the diverse cultures of the nation's Indigenous peoples, generally considered to be the First Nations, the Inuit, and the Métis peoples. However, it is a time for every one of us to learn more about the contributions of our Indigenous peoples in this country's development and progress. And we can all find opportunities to learn and to engage in every region across Canada. So then people of all walks of life could celebrate and share knowledge about the Indigenous people's values, customs, languages, and culture. I was really fascinated by a story recently, and I'm sure that you're all aware of this, about those children who were in the jungle for, was it 40 days or something like that? I've lost the details. But in one of the news reports, what I picked up was that they learned a lot about survival through heritage, through stories that were passed down. And it is significant, especially for people who have lost the opportunity to have that story and those words of wisdom passed on from generation to generation to generation. And so people who have been displaced for one reason or other fully understand that lack. You might be aware, but it's worth a reminder that First Nations, Inuit and Métis are Indigenous peoples and share many similarities. However, they each have their own distinct heritage, their own language, their own cultural practices and spiritual beliefs. And you know, sometimes there's a tendency to put groups together as one holistic entity, but it's not always that simple and straightforward. We know that the first National Indigenous Peoples Day was proclaimed in 1996, and many of Canada's Indigenous peoples were already celebrating their culture and heritage on or near this day for many generations. However, that was an important national recognition of their unique achievements in fields such as diverse as agriculture, the environment, business, and the arts. I will not be detailing any of that today because there are numerous studies and volumes of documentation about relations between Indigenous peoples and others who live in this great country of ours. Nevertheless, I think it's fair to say that over time, there have been efforts to foster improved relationships and to make progress toward reconciliation. One such process has been the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which has to do with the residential school system and the experiences of former students. And I think that we all know that churches were actually involved in the residential school system. I know for sure that the Anglican Church was involved. And it's not a matter of looking back, but of learning to go forward. But sometimes we need to move forward in such a way that we include everyone in the process. Because it is generally acknowledged that bringing closure to the legacy of residential schools lies at the heart of reconciliation between indigenous peoples who attended these schools, their families and communities, and all Canadians. The United Nations Declaration, which states, Indigenous peoples have the collective right to live in freedom, peace, and security as distinct peoples, and shall not be subjected to any act of genocide or any other act of violence, including forcibly removing children of the group to another group. And that applies to Indigenous peoples all around the world. We know that in Canada, September 30th marks the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation as a federal statutory holiday. And the day honors the children who never returned home and survivors of residential schools, as well as their families and communities. But I'm sure that you'd recognize that that's just a quick overview, which sets the context, really, for what the church is doing and what we as people of God would like to have before us as we take this to God in prayer. In his letter to the diocese on June the 9th, a little over a week ago, our bishop, the Right Reverend Andrew Asbill, wrote, and I quote, "June the 21st is National Indigenous Day, and we are all invited and encouraged to pray for Indigenous peoples, to celebrate and give thanks for their witness and teachings, to pray for the protection and promotion of their languages, their cultures, and their ceremonies, and to work for healing and a new understanding between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples who inhabit this land." He went on, and I won't get into all of the details, but he urged us to celebrate what we are doing today on June the 18th, the National Indigenous Day of Prayer. I believe that as we celebrate National Indigenous Day of Prayer, one key message that the church could convey is the message of welcome and inclusion for all who wish to be part of the body of Christ. And there's optimism in the church today. You would be aware of all the initiatives around the Diocese of Toronto, and in fact, across the Anglican Church of Canada. And there's optimism about the progress in the journey towards Indigenous self-determination in the Anglican Church of Canada. But I want to draw your attention to the Gospel reading for today, where you would have noticed that words of inclusion are evident throughout the text. And that's a signal to us that inclusion was deliberate from creation. Perhaps this reminds us of the universal nature of God, the God of all creation. And perhaps it reminds us of Christ's invitation to everyone who is seeking salvation. And it is quite fitting that the scripture reinforces the inclusion of everyone into the life of the church. I don't know how closely you followed the gospel reading this morning, and I'm not here to judge any one of us, but I know that sometimes I need to read something a second or third time to get the point. In verse 3, this is what the gospel reading said today. All things came into being through him. The light was the light of all people. That's verse 4. The life was the light of all people, not some people. Verse 7. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. Verse 9. He is a true light which enlightens everyone, not some people. Verse 12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. That means all of us. And finally, in verse 16, it says, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Isn't that reassuring? So, my friends, my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, we are all children of God. And John makes several points to explain this. For in verse 13, he indicated that power was given to all to become children of God and not restricted to heredity, to genetics, to wealth, to culture, to education, to prestige, to influence, or any human characteristic. And that salvation was secured for all by the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's good news. That's great news. So today, on the day set aside to mark the National Indigenous Day of Prayer, we celebrate a God of inclusion. For the scripture reinforces the availability of salvation to all, including our indigenous siblings, sisters, and brothers in Christ. Today, we live in a world that's fragmented. And I know that's not good news, that's not news to us. And many live in fear around the world, especially when there are hostilities based on people's personal characteristics. And we should all be outraged. But despite our fears and concerns, the gospel urges us to be inclusive of all people. So let me suggest three ways today how we can engage as people of God as we celebrate National Indigenous Day of Prayer. And as we continue the work towards reconciliation. First of all, I think that we have an obligation to educate each other. And the best way to be educated is by listening, isn't it? So I'm suggesting that we should listen to all voices, including those from the indigenous communities. Yes, let us educate each other. Secondly, let us encourage each other in our daily walk with Christ while welcoming the stranger in our midst. Because the church, we as a church, must intentionally have an open door policy. So let us educate each other, let us encourage each other. But finally, let us enhance our relationships as we remove any existing barriers to full participation of all in the life of the church. And that's not always as easy. But one possible approach, and we do that fairly well here in the Diocese of Toronto, is to partner with equality seekers and groups involved in social justice. For today, we are reminded in the Gospel of John that from his fullness, from God's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. So my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, may we journey together in partnership with each other. And as the collect for today reminds us, may we be strengthened and guided to help one another grow into the full stature of Christ, who is our light and our life. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.